It's PacView's Melissa Burdick, the Wizard of Woodland Hills Shree, special guest host Jackie Danowski from Flywheel, and I'm PVSB, also from Flywheel, a division of Omnicom. Before we get to the CPG Guys episode you've downloaded, it's the week of April 29th, an ACDS annual week, and it's time for the Fresh Four. Four curated news stories from the past week. We find them masterfully intriguing. We hope you do too. They're brought to you through our partnership with RetailWit, your one-stop shop for retail industry intelligence and news. RetailWit.com, it's retail right now. Sheree, lead us off, would you?
Albertsons has been named the 2024 winner of the Webby Award for People's Voice Top Shopping and Retail App. I am so immensely proud of the shopper experience team, our engineering counterparts, and all of our cross-functional partners across the organization. Cheers to your hard work and customer obsession, said Jill Pavlovich, SVP of Customer Experience at Albertsons. 23 individual Albertsons associates were recognized in earning this award. Congratulations to all of you, and over to you, Melissa.
Best Buy and CNET are combining their ad inventory. Consumer electronics retailer Best Buy and digital publisher CNET are teaming up to create a new retail media model. The electronics retailer and the publisher are combining their ad inventory, allowing advertisers to buy across Best Buy Ads retail media network and alongside CNET's tech review-focused editorial content, and measure whether ads seen on either platform drove sales. In a month-long survey during which CNET content was displayed nationally across Best Buy's in-store TV walls, 86% of respondents said the content made them more confident in their purchases. It also garnered a 25% lift in purchase intent, according to the companies. Super interesting space as retailers continue to look for differentiation.
Thank you, Melissa. The National Association of Chain Drugstore annual meeting set to take place this week in Palm Beach, Florida. The annual meeting of the NACDS is set to begin Sunday, April 27th at the Breakers Hotel in Palm Beach, Florida. Featured speakers include Walter Isaacson and Arthur C. Brooks. NACDS annual is noted for the strategic meetings that transpire between retailers, consumer goods manufacturers, sales and marketing agencies, and other ecosystem service partners. If you're on a budget, make sure to get a hot dog at the poolside restaurant at $27. It is the least expensive menu entree offered at this five-star resort. Brian, Sheree, and Andrea are all in attendance this year. Closing it out, Jackie.
Hello, Fresh Four listeners. Red Bull Pink Edition Sugar-Free hits shelves. Red Bull is launching a new permanent sugar-free edition this summer. Red Bull Pink Edition Sugar-Free combines raspberry and forest fruits with herbal notes of verbena. It is the second new variant introduced by the brand this year, and the first fully sugar-free flavor in its portfolio, aiming to attract new shoppers to the category. Red Bull editions have been largely incremental to the brand, with 50% of edition buyers being new to Red Bull as they grow their flavor offering.
Thank you, Jackie, and welcome as a guest host to the Fresh Four. That's it for the Fresh Four. Now on to the CPG Guys episode that you've downloaded. Welcome to another episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Our hosts, Sheree Rajagopalan, Peter V.S. Bond, and Brian Gildenberg explore how brands and retailers engage consumers in an increasingly digitally driven world. And now, here are the CPG Guys. Hello and welcome to the CPG Guys podcast. I'm your co-host, PVSB. And when I'm not co-hosting this podcast, along with my partners, Sheree and Brian, I serve as partnership acceleration at Flywheel, a division of Omnicom that helps enterprise brands improve their SEO and SEM, growing their e-commerce business. I'm very much excited about the conversation we've got planned for today's episode because, one, it's a subject we discuss quite frequently here on the podcast. And second, I've been personally involved in participating with the program that a premier academic institution has created to advance it. Moreover, I think we have some really awesome guests joining us for this episode. Before we get to them, we want to ask your help in spreading the word about this community we've created with the CPG Guys. Beyond sharing our podcast with your friends and your family, if you're using Apple Podcasts or Spotify as your preferred listening platform, please leave us a rating inside the app because it helps feed the algorithm that makes us more findable by CPG retail people like you looking for both education and entertainment. We stress both of those because we think it's very important that we engage and entertain you as we are educating you. It's kind of like Mary Poppins, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. We're happy that the CPG Guys is part of an impressive collective of highly rated podcasts, including CPG Guys Fast Forward, hosted by Brian Gildenberg, CPG Scoop with Reese and Jennifer, and of course, across the pond, the FMCG Guys with Daniel Afrain and Christine. Finally, we are incredibly proud of our allyship with Next Up, formerly known as Network of Executive Women, whose mission it is to advance the cause of women in business and to promote gender equality in the workplace. Next Up has terrific educational and networking resources available to its members. And of course, Sri serves as his director at Next Up. So links to our podcast, our sister casts, our landing page on Next Up, and links to the social media profiles of Sri's two performing artist daughters may be found in the digital liner notes of this episode. 90%+ of you listen on your mobile device. Don't have to write anything down. Don't have to clip a QR code. Just toggle over to the digital liner notes, click the hyperlink, and you can learn as you listen to the melodious tones of our voices educate and entertain you in today's conversation. All right, so why don't we get to that conversation? You know, if you listen to this podcast, you know we often talk about an academic program that I attended back in the summer of 2022. While I was scouring the interweb for all sorts of interesting insights about omnichannel that I could share with this audience, I came across an in-person program that was being produced by the Johnson Graduate School of Management at Cornell University. When I looked at the details behind the program and the prestigious set of CPG brands and retailers scheduled to participate in the program, I knew the networking opportunity alone was worth the price of admission. But when I showed up, it became readily apparent to me that I was getting much more than I bargained for. In fact, I loved it so much that I bought the company. No, I didn't buy Cornell. I'm just kidding. But I did get invited back the next year, and I got to speak to the second class. And I absolutely jumped at that chance, and that was a lot of fun. We're actually partnering with the Johnson School at Cornell University for this episode, as I am pleased to report that they will be offering the Omnichannel Leadership Program yet again for the third year in a row, this coming June 10th to the 13th at Cornell Tech, which is in the heart of the world's business epicenter, New York City. Joining us for the conversation are three people associated with the program. First, we have Dan Hooker. Dan is the program director at Cornell, who's responsible for running the Omnichannel Leadership Program. Joining him from the academic side is Professor Karan Girotra, the Charles H. Dyson Family Professor of Management at the Cornell Johnson School of Management and at Cornell Tech. And last, but certainly not least, we have Claire Galvao, VP of Customer and Channel Strategy at Kellanova, the snacks business that was formerly part of Kellogg's. Dan, Karan, Claire, welcome to the CPG Guys podcast.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Happy to be here, Peter.
Hey, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have all of you. I'm really excited about the conversation, and I appreciate you making time to speak with us today about this remarkable executive program that Cornell is producing. Before we get to the questions that I've prepared for our conversation, I think it would be good for our audience to know a little bit about your backgrounds, and that'll kind of play into why you're here and why you're talking about this. Let's start with you, Karan.
So I'm a business school professor. And when we say business school professor, it means we research business. But if you're a useful or a good business school professor, you hope to apply that in real business also. So you consult, work with lots of different organizations. My general focus of my work is almost always operations and not surprisingly often involving retail, either physical retail, e-commerce. I study a lot of business models. And then about 7-8 years back, I was one of the founding faculty for Cornell's new thing in New York City, Cornell Tech. So I've been inside a big company entrepreneur and helping build this Cornell Tech campus. My research has also changed a little bit because of that. Cornell Tech is about putting technology and business together. So today, almost everything I do is technology for business transformation. So technology for transformation of retail operations, technology for transforming other businesses.
Thank you, Karan. Dan, how about you?
Hey, Peter, thanks. Like Karan, I teach at Cornell too. So when you send your students or your daughter, Peter, up to Cornell University, when she gets into college, I'll be teaching her food marketing and supply chain. And then I also teach, when she goes to graduate school, a graduate course in marketing. So the other half of my life, I spend working with executives on some of our food industry management leadership programs, one being the Omnichannel program and the other being our food executive program that we have up in July in our campus in Ithaca. So I sort of straddle both worlds between academia and industry. And prior to coming back to Cornell in 2019, I was 30 years in the industry doing everything from product ideation and strategy all the way to store execution, marketing, and everything in between for a handful of retailers, lastly, as part of Walmart's e-commerce team. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Dan. And I'll see what I can do about getting Cornell onto the approved list of academic institutions for my daughter. You know that I live in Guilford, Connecticut, and it is reputedly the town after which the TV show The Gilmore Girls is based. And much like that show, there only seems to be one academic institution that's on my wife's mind, and it's located three towns to the west. But we'll leave that as it may be. Claire, how you doing? Tell us a little bit about what you do at Kellanova.
Great. Thanks, Peter. I lead our commercial strategy and capabilities teams at Kellanova, which includes category management, commercial capabilities, our multi-pack and immediate consumption portfolio strategy, and commercial operations excellence. Prior to Kellanova and Kellogg's, I spent many years at Coca-Cola, both on the bottler side and the Coca-Cola company side in sales and marketing roles in the U.S., in Europe, and also in Southeast Asia.
Claire, thank you for that. And after this, I think you and I are going to have a very deep conversation about price pack architecture, because I think that's right up your alley. But anyhow, thank you all for the overview. In the digital liner notes of this episode, we're going to include links to each of your LinkedIn profiles, the Kellanova and Cornell Exec Ed LinkedIn pages, along with the link to the Omnichannel Leadership Program website. So if you're in listening to this episode, you don't have to write anything down. Go to the liner notes. There is a hyperlink to the website where you can learn more about this program, which I so absolutely advocate for. And you can access that while you're listening to us. So you can multitask. That's the great thing about it. So without any further ado, let's kick off the questions. I'm going to start with you, Dan. You know, I'd love to hear, what was the impetus behind creating the Omnichannel Leadership Program, and how did you also start bringing brands and retailers into the development of the curriculum and the execution of the program?
Well, Peter, when you were out there searching the interweb, looking for leads on accounts and things to do, or looking for a place to go to dinner, I was brainstorming with some of our clients. At Cornell, we do quite a bit of work with major retailers. And I think it was about 3 years ago, we started talking about how do we upskill executives in the world of omnichannel, retail omnichannel marketing. We looked with some of our partners, and we couldn't find a lot of training opportunities or different classes to send our or send executives to. So we decided to create one. And that was how the Omnichannel Leadership Program came to life. In fact, early on, we even reached out to Karan to look for help in putting that together as a faculty member on our Cornell Tech campus in New York City. But the story is a little bit more complex than that. We do a lot of work with Ahold Delhaize, and Ahold Delhaize was going down that same path with us in looking for opportunities in omnichannel leadership for upskilling their associates. And we connected and we said, hey, let's put a program together. Let's work together and make a training session that had two components. One was deep learning from our faculty, like Karan, so we could really dive in deep into the issues and get some education from our faculty member. And then also industry leadership, you know, the latest and greatest and current thinking in industry leaders. So we came together and we created this program. And this is our third cohort that we have this year so far. So that's when you were, Peter, when you were there, when you finally made it to the class that first year, there was a handful of industry executives that were part of the program too. So that's how it all came together.
Thank you, Dan, for that. Let me turn to you, Karan. How do you actually then go about developing the academic component of the program? I mean, you and your fellow academics present what I consider to be a great deal of research that was dispersed throughout the three-day event. You had industry practitioners, and then you had academics kind of putting it together. And what do you have new for the program this year?
Right. So our general approach in putting the research together is we look at what's new, And we try to, there's a lot of new stuff in research. We look at what's new and then what's relevant. There's a lot of stuff researchers do, but not everything is actionable immediately. Some stuff is just pure kind of fun to do. And then there is stuff which will be relevant further out. So we try to look at what's super relevant this year. And we kind of give you snippets of that. We try to give it a nice packaged version, typically aligned with what the industry executive would say. So somebody is coming in talking about a certain kind of assortment planning problem or something around deciding a portfolio. There will be some industry leader who will talk about what's new at, for example, Kellanova doing in that problem. And then we'll say, what are new perspectives on that problem from the academic side? So that's our general approach to kind of distill research into the stuff you need to know now in small bite-sized chunks, generally put right next to the practical application of that. While we're doing that, we have a secret goal. We're essentially teaching you not just the new learning this year, but also teaching you a way to think that whatever you thought in the past often changes how people advance thinking. So it's also teaching a way of thinking. That's our general approach in why we bring research. Get you the new information and show you how information evolves so that you can respond to things as or how the science or how the thinking around things evolves. So you can respond to things as the world changes in the future. Now, the more interesting part of your question, what's new this year? I'm super excited to do it because this year for the program, we've called it Omnichannel. And for sure, the genesis was retail is using all sorts of channels. Of course, many, many mediated or enabled by technology. And in a way, this year, I think what we're going to go is probably head on into technology and in particular one technology. You all know which one I'm thinking about. This year, our star or the main thing we'll talk a lot about is AI. How AI is going to change retail, how it's going to change. And we'll probably go a lot broader than channel. In fact, I can't even tell you what exactly we'll say in 6 months because it's going to be different than what I'm saying right now. So it's fast moving. But when we do the program, our goal would be to deliver you the latest relevant capabilities, problems, and applications for what is happening in the AI world. So that's going to be the content side new. And we have a second new thing this year, which pedagogically I think is also interesting. So what we do here is we bring 50, 60 fairly senior leaders from 20, 30 different organizations into a room. And so far what we were doing was we were giving them some education. They were talking to each other, but it was a little bit in a way one directional. And so what our intention is this year is to do what we call the studio method, in which we'll teach a little bit, but then you'll put these things into action in class. You'll actually do some work. You'll do some work and then you'll get critiqued on it by your peers, by people. For example, you could think of, okay, we've learned something about an AI capability. How am I going to use it tomorrow to change a retail store process? You'll come up with one of those things. You'll get feedback. We're planning to, and I hope this doesn't scare some people, we're planning to kind of work through some fueled by pizza and beer through some evenings, get some work done. And so, yeah, that's the studio approach. And AI and studio approach is what's going to be a lot different than what we did, for example, last year and even to several years back.
Well, Karan, thank you for being the first person to ever use the term pedagogical on the CPG Guys podcast. I appreciate that. And I'm glad you said AI is the new approach, because if you'd said NFTs or metaverse, I would have told you you need to take a time machine and go back a couple of years. So I'm glad that you were on point for that. And I can honestly say, all kidding aside, I remember in the first year that you offered it, you talked about teaching a way of thinking, the approach to innovation, and whether it was a prototype or it was a first generation. I really didn't understand a lot of those terms before, and now I'm using them more appropriately and helps me frame out exactly how I approach an issue right from the get-go. So I still, to this day, apply many of the things that I learned in that class practically in what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis in my job. So with that, Dan, let's get back to the manufacturers and retailers that are working on this program. How do they participate both as presenters in front of the entire audience, but also as actually participants themselves? Like, what are these partners looking for in sending so many people from their companies to this big event?
Well, Karan said, fueled by pizza and beer. I know that's a little draw, but my marketing tagline here is created or built by industry, powered by Cornell Tech. So not quite fueled by pizza and beer. And why do I say that? First cohort was put together with us faculty, as well as our industry partners, including Kellanova. Thank you, Claire, for being here to represent Kellanova. Kellanova is just one of many partners that we work together to create this program. But Kellanova has been an amazing, amazing partner in this program. And Claire might mention it. We have Carrie Sander coming from Kellanova to kick the program off this year. So there's a couple ways that speakers or industry leaders can be part of the program. One is we work with the leaders like Kellanova, and they've identified leaders within their organization that would be great knowledge leaders to be part of the program. And that's a way to get onto the speaking venue for the week. Companies will send participants to the program that are high potential leaders that currently run teams in different parts of the organization, from operations to digital marketing to technology, finance, supply chain management, analytics. So we've had a broad range of participants attend the program. But the three big takeaways that I would say that are important to learn from the program. One is deep learning with faculty like Karan. Two is the ability to network with your peers and share. And then three would just be the overall leadership conversations that you can take back to help your teams be better, more agile, make quicker decisions, and be better leaders within your respective organizations. So I hope I answered the question, Peter. I could kind of throw it back to you. You were a participant in year one, we connected, and then in year two, you came back as a speaker. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that experience. In my mind, it was, hey, Peter knows a lot about this space, especially retail media and digital marketing. We got to have Peter there to share what he knows to all our participants. So that's another way participants can be part of the program.
Yeah, here I was about to make a self-deprecating remark about how could you possibly be a serious academic program if you invited me to speak in front of them. But thank you, Dan. I do appreciate that. No, you know, for me, it was very much about, as I mentioned when I opened this up, I originally just registered because I thought, look at all these people that are going to be there. I want to network with them. Like if all I got out of it was the networking, and it was quite phenomenal, I would have said I was happy. But so much of what you and Karan have talked about so forth, particularly around the newest techniques, ways of thinking, and the fact that such remarkable people came to speak. I mean, we had the CEO of Ahold Delhaize speak at one point. We had the EVP of store operations at Dick's Sporting Goods. We had the CMO of what was then Kellogg's, now Kellanova. I mean, what a great venue. So I was really happy about that. So, Karan, back to you. What's the outcome you're seeking to deliver to the participants, and how does that inform the overall program design?
So my goal this year, and it's almost a personal mission in this and many other programs, is to get people ready, upskilled, to be able to kind of survive and thrive in the world of AI. And that starts at many levels. At the very basic level, which we'll not talk too much in the program, but will happen as a side benefit, personally, becoming managers who are not going to be replaced by AI, but will have AI co-pilots to do better. So that we won't per se do that much in the program, but everybody will walk away with that appreciation. At an institutional level, at an organization level, what I want participants to be able to do is three things. Number one, have deep awareness and deep intelligent ability to evaluate what's happening in AI technology. What's real? What's bullshit? What's magic mushrooms doesn't exist? And what's actually going to be real business outcomes? So goal number one, awareness. And I think this is super important because knowledge is the only way you can deal with all the things that are going to be thrown your way going forward. And if you have the right conceptual understanding of technology, you're much less likely to be fooled by XYZ. Next level, awareness is great, but it's passive. I mentioned the studio approach. This year, the goal is to do. I want everyone to walk away with having done. People come to programs, and I'm going to answer the complete statement, having done something that is relevant to their regular job. Whenever people come to executive programs, they're like, oh, I'll have to leave 4 days away from my job. I'm a busy man or a busy woman. I have so many things to do. And my pitch to them is, I promise you, one of those important things that you had to do or you had to do but didn't really know how to do and you were kind of hiding away from it, will get that done. So through this studio approach, we'll get perhaps your boss asked you to think about AI and you were kind of winging it or something. So second thing is you will get some work done to identify some real opportunities for change within your organization. So this will be actual work, not just kind of education. And then finally, I think like we always say, if you get the right awareness, if you get your hands dirty and do things at a meta level, you will learn a way of operating that will, I think, insulate you from a lot of things that will come 2 years down, 3 years down in the program. I was very glad when you mentioned that you're still using some of the stuff. Nothing makes an academic more happy. So that's the goal, that 3 years later, there are still some conceptual ideas that are helping you deal with whatever new technology or whatever new thing is happening 3 years down the road. So awareness, action, and then growth over the long run.
That is great. And I love particularly the focus on AI, because after having just attended 3 different conferences all in 2 weeks, I was CES, I was at NRF, and I was at FMI. The buzzword bingo was going crazy with AI. And the problem is that only a handful of people, in my impression, that I heard talk about it really understood and could differentiate between what really is revolutionary, which is generative AI, which is creating new content that didn't exist before, to what I would call more mechanical operations AI, which is just automating work that had been done manually and relieving us from the dreary, the repetitive, the drudgery of clicking the same button 100 million times. So I'm excited that you're going to be able to address that. Just want to remind our audience that we are speaking with Claire Galvao, Karan Girotra, and Dan Hooker, all of whom are involved in one way or another in the Omnichannel Leadership Program being hosted this June 10th to the 13th at Cornell Tech in New York City by the Cornell Johnson School of Management. All right. Enough of Dan and Karan. Let's get to Claire. Claire, welcome to the podcast. Like me, you've actually attended this course, so you have been a participant. I would love to hear from you what you took as some of the most valuable elements of the program that you could take back to your role at Kellanova.
Yeah, for me, it was an amazing experience. I mean, truly one of the best executive education programs I've participated in. And I mean, and this is me saying it, Peter, I was a part of the cohort that invited you and Brian Gildenberg back. So I still thought it was a very great and serious program. So that's saying quite a lot. No, but more seriously, really, the program had this really great structure. I thought that it struck a really nice balance between what you mentioned earlier, that combination of deep learning with Cornell faculty, but also with industry subject matter experts. I also really enjoyed meeting and learning alongside my peers in CPG, but other sectors as well. There were plenty of other folks there from different sectors, and it was well represented. We also had many of our customers in attendance. So when I attended, there was a really large contingent of Dick's Sporting Goods employees, and they shared, I mean, it was really just interesting to see it from the seat that I'm sitting, but they shared how they're, you know, creating a seamless and consistent shopping experience for their athletes in both digital and brick and mortar. And as I said before, too, the program provides a lot of networking opportunity as well. So spending quality time with, you know, my peers, other leaders and colleagues at Kellanova, but really spending quality time alongside my key customers. Like we mentioned that Ahold Delhaize is a large supporter of the program, and they had a pretty large contingent there as well. So we had great time together and a lot of time for learning and getting to know each other. So overall, I mean, for me, it was the great structure. The learning environment was also set up very nicely. The content was super relevant and up to date. I mean, this stuff is changing so quickly. Yeah. And it was immediately applicable. So yeah, I would say for sure it was money and time well spent. And, you know, I probably would also be remiss, too, if I didn't shout out the beautiful Cornell Tech campus on Roosevelt Island in New York City.
Oh, my God.
It's so beautiful. I mean, just totally impressive. Beautiful views. I mean, the learning environment, that 19th.
The Graduate Hotel. The Graduate Hotel. Beautiful venue. Like, even if you just want to go for a vacation.
Yes.
What a great place to go. I mean, everything is great about this program.
Yes, very impressive. So anyway, I had a wonderful experience. Sounds like we had very similar things that we liked about it, but I would recommend a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, a couple things I'll mention. One, the day one of my year that I showed up, we had quite a number of what at the time were Kellogg's people in the room. It's where I met Meera Patel and quite a number of other people. And literally the morning that we were kicking off was the announcement from Michigan that WL Kellogg, what are now WL Kellogg and Kellanova, were splitting into separate business units. So it was a very active day, people running in and out of the room. So I got a little drama as I was getting a little education. It was kind of fun. All right. So Claire, you actually work for a manufacturer that not only did you participate, but your company was very integral in designing the program. Why is this program so important to your organization that they've committed to not only speaking in front of it and sending people, but actually helping design the program?
Yeah, I mean, like many CPGs, we've really been working to upskill our sales teams with the right omnichannel capabilities. And I think importantly, we've been trying to do it very quickly. So things are changing at a really fast clip. And with, you know, retail media networks coming of age in the last several years, I would say, but, you know, it's quite a hot topic now. Omni training has been, you know, at the top of our conversation across the sales desks and beyond. So we've created, prior to this program, we created a lot of homegrown training programs. And it was really like basics. I would say it was building knowledge on omnicommerce fundamentals, like really just 101. We even, you know, we would host SMEs or external partners to come and talk on the topic of retail media, but it wasn't really until we partnered closely with Cornell on the advent of this program that we really felt that we had all the component parts for a comprehensive training. And it really keeps things fresh and up to date. And that to me was probably the most important. It was just like, there's things changing so quickly that we were not able to keep up with it on our own. So this partnership has been absolutely awesome. This year, in fact, we're sending another 11 of our team members. So I guess you could say our repeat purchase rate is really quite strong. So we love it. A whole new slew of folks are coming through this year. Dan mentioned it earlier, but this class will also have the privilege of hearing from the opening keynote from my boss, our chief customer officer of Kellanova, who's Carrie Sander. Carrie's a 20 plus year veteran of Kellanova, but she was most recently the GM of our Wholesome Snacks business and had a long career in sales and multiple channels prior to that. So she'll be an awesome keynote. Other highlights of the agenda include, I was just looking at it, like, to have Christy Argelon come from Albertsons Media Collective. It's a great lineup. So I'm sure the class coming up will have a wonderful experience in the same way we did.
I'm pleased to report that Christy Argelon was just named by the CPG guys to the Omnichannel Hall of Fame in our first ever awards related to that as part of the annual Omni Award. So we couldn't agree more. She is a wonderful industry subject matter expert. Dan, do you have something to contribute to what Claire just said?
You stole my thunder a little bit, Peter. I was going to reference that. I saw that on your podcast that Christy won that award, and we have a Hall of Famer now at the program. So that's something that I'll brag about, but also take this time. Hey, Claire, thank you for sending 11 people. It really helps support the program and keeps me and Karan able to do our jobs at Cornell. One thing I'll add, though, is, and Claire mentioned it, so this four-day program enables CPGs, brands, to network with their customers. So in Claire's case, Albertsons, Walmart, Kroger, ShopRite, Dollar General, HEB, these are some of the companies that will be there that they'll get to spend really, really quality time with, where, you know, nothing confidential gets discussed, but you're away from your day-to-day and you get to spend really good quality time building those relationships that will help just both sides of the business be really successful in this ever-changing world of omnichannel.
Yeah, and the other thing I heard Claire reference was the emergence and rapid growth of retail media. Dan, you know, we may need to talk about another program around leadership related to retail media that maybe we can collaborate on. We'll save that for another day, right? But in all seriousness, Dan, I attended the program. I made reference earlier that the CEO of Ahold Delhaize at the time, Kevin Holt, was part of the program. You made reference to some of the companies, and we've already heard that the chief customer officer from Kellanova is going to be there, Christy Argelon from Albertsons Media Collective. Tantalize us. Who else do you have queued up? Who's number three? Who's up to bat? Who's hitting cleanup? Come on, I want to hear this.
Number three. All right. At number three, we have Ethan Grobe, who's the VP product at Shipt. He also has a long career at Kroger and 8451 in omnichannel or delivery and supply chain as well. That's nice. And batting fourth, Alex Ross, newly named Senior Vice President of Upshop. Many of our retail customers use their technology to power their retail operations business like DSD. Susan Long, from Albertsons is going to make another appearance. And when she was there last time or last year, she actually dove into the trash can to prove a point about sustainability and recycling. And like, she got up from the stage and she opened up the trash and started picking through it. And we're like, what the heck is she doing? But she was proving a point about the importance of the little things that can make an impact in sustainability and ESG. And then we learned last week that Tanya Herring from Peapod Digital Labs will be joining the program too. And I believe, Peter, she was recently on CPG Guys too.
So was Suzanne. She came on and spoke to us. She informed me of something that I had no idea. Do you know what the biggest consumption of contribution to emissions coming from the Albertsons company is? I thought it would be all the trucks delivering products to the store. It's actually not. It's those refrigeration units in the stores and the leakage that occurs. That is probably one of the biggest areas. It's the biggest area that they experience where they are focused on trying to reduce emissions and drive better conditions for the environment we live in. So yeah, Suzanne is terrific. I loved hearing her talk. And it sounds like you've got a really great lineup of everyday practitioners from the industry in particular. So Dan, that leads me to my final question for you. We've talked about what the program is. We've talked about the academic component. We've talked about the professional component. Claire has been so kind to share with us her perspective on why it's so important to her company and her as an actual participant, the value she got out of it. So from your perspective, what is the professional archetype that should be really interested in attending Omnichannel Leadership Program at Cornell Tech this summer? And what advice do you have to get them interested in learning more?
Let me take a quick step back and I'll highlight the four themes of the program. And that would give us a little bit of a background of the people that Sure. we think are perfect for the program. First is customer first. So in the program, we had non-food retailers like Dick's Sporting Goods. They're focused on the customer. Day two, strategy and technology. And that's a lot of Karan will be taking over and teaching. Business models, experimentation, and validation, day three. And then day four, the theme is dedicated to bold transformation. So to specifically answer your question, Peter, leaders that are within a company or an organization that have a leadership role. I know titles vary by company, roughly director, senior director, vice president level. So this is a senior group that manages people that are focused on transforming their organization using technology like what we're going to talk about on the program at AI, and can take our leaders within an organization that will be responsible for teaching, training, and developing people.
Karan, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I think not so much on the that's exactly the right group of participants. But one thing, you both, Claire and Peter, shared the participants' perspective here. But one thing that might not be apparent to the listeners here is that this is a pretty intimate setting. This is not a conference where you're seeing the CEO as one of 400, 500 people in the audience. This is 50 people. This is people sitting around a table, 25 people sitting around in a room. And particularly with the studio approach this year, you might be like 10 people from different companies working on a challenge for this evening with shared pizzas. We'll get enough pizza, but you'll be eating from the same box potentially. So I think networking, it's not networking like at an industry conference. This is actually working together, not forced networking. You just have to do the exercises and you all hate the professor teaching you, so you all network. It's a little bit more like the bonding in homework rather than bonding on networking alone in a way.
Yeah, let me emphasize that I probably got to ask at least one, if not multiple questions to each of the prominent industry luminaries who came before us, and then even talking to them during breaks. But I do want to say that just the network of people that I got to meet that I still keep in close contact today, Dan, you and I are still very close. I talked to Parag Shah, who at the time was at Giant Food, Bria Keating at Monster. Just so many terrific people that are now part of my community that I can draw from when I have questions or ideas that I need feedback from. So just that community alone has been invaluable to me. So thank you for that. All right. I want to remind our audience, go to cpgguys.com. You can find all of our content. Our episodes are organized by topics like retail media and category management and AI. And of course, if you think you have some thought leadership to contribute to our ongoing community discussion, drop us an email at contact@cpgguys.com. And maybe you can join us for a future episode of the podcast. And of course, don't forget to drop us a rating on Apple, Spotify, or at cpgguys.com on the navigation bar on our site. Thank you, thank you, thank you to the 28,000 plus followers of this podcast. We just crossed 1 million downloads. I'm still in awe of that. Mom, thank you for clicking download, 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 download. But I also want to say, as we close this out, Omnichannel Leadership Program this summer, Cornell Tech, New York City, June 10th to the 13th, in the digital liner notes of this podcast episode. Link to the program website. Also, if you're on cpgguys.com, it's on the navigation bar at the top. Please check it out. I've already got quite a number of people that I know that have already submitted their applications. Personal recommendation, if you want to go get your application in fast, it's only a couple of questions to qualify you, but it's really useful and you're going to want to go to this program because before you know it, it's going to be sold out. Kind of like, I'm not going to say it's as hard as getting tickets to the Eras Tour concert, but it's up there. It's up there. All right. So thanks to each of our guests. I'll start with Karan. Karan, thank you so much for joining us and giving us the academic perspective.
Thanks, Peter. This was a really fun conversation.
Dan, as always, I enjoy our conversations, but so great to see that you're putting this program out a third year. And thank you for letting the CPG guys be a part of helping you amplify its existence.
Thank you for your support, Peter. It's great to see you again.
And Claire, lastly, great to speak with another participant. I'm glad to know that just Brian and me riffing in front of you at last year's session was modestly entertaining and even partially educational. And I want to thank you for coming on today to give your perspective and Kellanova's perspective on the value of the Omnichannel Leadership Program. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
And to our audience, thank you again for joining us. I'm sure Sri will be back for our next episode. But until then, please keep listening. Check out some back episodes. I know a lot of people didn't have time over the holidays. They were too busy shopping. We had so many great industry luminaries speak during the months of November and December. Go back and check what we've published. You're going to find some really great conversations. And we look forward to speaking with you on the next episode of, wait for it, the CPG Guys podcast. Goodbye. The content in this podcast episode is provided for general informational purposes only. By listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as advice from CPG Guys LLC or the individual author, hosts, or guests, nor is it intended to be a substitute for research on any subject matter. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by CPG Guys LLC. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The views expressed by CPG Guys LLC do not represent the views of their employers or the entity they represent. CPG Guys LLC expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, or inability to use this podcast or the information we present in this podcast.